Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine Food Friday, December 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, today is the final Food Friday, and in fact, the last Vox Pop show of 2016, and we've decided to make it the Flower Hour. The ambassador of flour herself is here, author and baker Amy Halloran is in the studio to answer your questions about all things grain, from breads to gluten-free baking to pancakes and shortbread cookies. You know, at the end of the year, maybe your energy is waning a little bit. Maybe you're hosting a show and you don't have a lot in the tank. And then Amy Halloran gets here, and good heavens, the energy level goes up. And thankfully, I'll just coast. She'll handle the show. The number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question for the ambassador of flour, 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. It kicks off after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We talk grain today. It's been a staple of the human diet since the dawn of time. And we have a guest in the studio who is not only an expert on grain, but reportedly makes the best flapjacks for thousands of miles. Amy Halloran is here. She is something of the ambassador of flour. In fact, she is a flour ambassador. Amy is a Troy native and author of the new breadbasket, How the New Crop of Grain Growers, Plant Breeders, Millers, Maltsters, Bakers, Brewers, and Local Food Activists are Redefining Our Daily Loaf. She helped start the Troy Farmers Market, currently runs the Community Meals Program at Unity House, teaches food justice at Russell Sage College, and is spending a lot of time this winter writing. If you have a question, anything, for the dynamic Amy Halloran, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran, so good to see you again. Nice to have you here.
Oh, I'm really happy to be here.
You know, you get amped up when you talk about grain, and I've never quite figured it out.
I don't know either, but it's a late-in-life drug that I'm happily addicted to.
And I guess we're going to have a New Year's toast right now.
We are. So I've been on this toast kick because my family went away for the holidays, and, you know, nothing suits bachelordom like toast.
Like toast.
So I said I was only going to eat toast until they came back. And
so that's all you ate until they came back?
They aren't back yet, Ray. Oh, all of, right, I so did have some Chinese food for lunch, but
let's break some bread.
We are breaking bread. This is our New Year's toast a few hours early.
To 2017.
To 2017.
We'll clink the toast here.
And you tell me what you taste.
Okay. Close my mic while I chew. Oh, that's delicious.
What's in there, Ray? What do you think is in there?
There's
besides
nuts.
The entire history
nuts.
Of humanity, right?
Oh, I like that. So you have walnuts, yeah?
Yep, there's walnuts, oats, rye, spelt, teff.
Teff? Like Teflon?
No. Teff is an Ethiopian grain that is used in injera, which is their big flatbread. You might call it a pancake.
There's a sweetness to this.
That's the oats. Lots of oats. Oh, and there's a little bit of peaches in there.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, mm-hmm. you know me very well that I would not be able to pick out these seven different flours that are in here. This is great, though. Beautiful, tasty, and not overly done toast. So you're kind of a, what do they call that? Al dente toaster?
Warmed over.
Really?
Warmed over, yeah.
This is beautiful.
I don't like a crisp toast, but I do think that, you know, we might be able to survive on bread alone. If it were toast.
You make a point. Do you make bread pudding at the holidays?
No.
Have you ever done that? You're not a big sugar person.
I used to be a big sugar person, and that's why I'm not anymore. But bread, this would be good for bread pudding. But you know what this kind of bread makes me think about is if you cut it up and you put it into yogurt, it's like cereal. And it makes you think about how people always used to save bread, and that's why there's recipes like bread pudding, and that's why there's toppings. People never used to waste bread
right. Because
it took so much work. It's got lots of labor built right into it, you know, from farm to loaf or farm to glass. There is so much work in every sip or every crumb, you wouldn't want to waste it.
So how much work, how long did it take you to make this loaf prior to the toasting?
My work is minimal because I'm a very distractible person, and the style of bread that I make is do something, walk away. Do something, walk away. So I started it maybe, it is a sourdough starter. I've gotten into really fun sourdoughs because this book, there's a lot of really good baking books out this year. The Rye Baker really got me into it. Sourdough by Sarah Owens. One Dough, Ten Breads by Sarah Black. All these books really got me more into bread baking, and you know, I could leave my pancake realm a little
bit. No, you can't.
I'm not really leaving it.
You never leave the pancake realm. So sourdough's a new thing for you?
Relatively.
Is it tougher?
No. I have found ways to make it easy.
Really?
And I haven't written about that yet. But I'm reading a book about the history of baking powder that's coming out next year.
I'm sure you are. All right, do tell.
It's so fun because if you think about, we haven't had chemical leavening that long. So chemical leavening, meaning even yeast that, well, is yeast actually chemical leavening? When I say chemical leavening, I do mean baking powder, baking soda, those kinds of things. So those abbreviations of baking are only about 200, 300 years old.
All right.
200. So that's not very long that we've had those things, but we always wanted something to get some heavenly loft into our cakes and bread, right?
Now, what does baking powder actually do?
What
do you mean? Why are you surprised by my ignorance?
No, I'm just trying to figure out how to say it in half a sentence rather than going into an encyclopedia. It helps you raise the ingredients up. So it's a lightener. It's a leavener.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And the book is it can't be more than about 20 pages, right?
No, this one's 100.
100 pages on the history of baking powder.
Yes.
Well, I expect a full report on your next appearance on the program.
You will get that.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is our guest. And before we get to the calls, you got the sticker. It says Flower Ambassador. Explain.
So it's a patch now. It started out as a sticker. I was the keynote speaker at the Kneading Conference, which is this great festival of all things bread up in Skowhegan, Maine.
Oh, yeah.
And I decided, how many times in my life am I going to have 100 people sitting there enchanted with flour? I was going to make them all stand up and become flour ambassadors. And I had them put their hands over their hearts. I deputized them. I said, and I made this pledge up. I do solemnly, happily swear that I'm going to tell everyone I see that bread is not poison. Invisibility is poison. And it's on my blog, which is amyhalloran.net.
And there's a link on our Vox Pop page to that.
Yeah. So now the flower ambassador thing, I want to continue on to have people try to understand more of the work that goes into your toast and your cookies and your beer, and try to get more regional grains happening and support local mills. And also just to return to the basics of bread as a connective tissue. There's an incredible project that one of the authors I mentioned, Sarah Owens, is about to go to Lebanon, and she is going to be starting a bakery where she'll be training both Syrian refugees and Lebanese residents to bake bread and come together with the media of bread that we all rely upon.
Peace through flour.
Yeah.
You are an ambassador.
I am.
Very impressive. Amy Halloran is our guest, 800-348-2551. Before we get to all the shortbread that you brought, and believe me, it's catching my attention. Let's take a call here. David in Monson, Mass. David, you're on.
Well, hello. I'd like to know about the unleavened bread, sometimes known as crackers. Do you have a good recipe or a technique to make so I can make my own?
Sure.
Because I have tried, and mine have run the gamut from being burnt to broken tooth hard. So help.
Okay. So I got interested in crackers a few years ago, and I wrote an article about them. And so if you Google my name and Culinate, C-U-L-I-N-A-T-E, and forgive the pronunciation because I'm a writer, not much of a talker. But
You're a talker.
I'm a talker, don't know how to pronounce anything. I pronunciate things wrong all the time. But anyway, there's a couple of recipes there that you should look at. What kind of flour are you going to be using?
Well, I do like the whole wheat.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna have to start with something, and the whole wheat flour, to me, seems to be a better place to start.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Whole grains are the way to go. Stone milled whole grains would be really nice. And I am still very fond of the tahini crackers that I have the recipe for on that page, which is based on, I think it was a Fanny Farmer or a King Arthur recipe for a peanut butter cracker recipe. But using tahini as part of the, you know, of that, will make it a little bit less toothachey, gum-achey. You'll have a nice cracker.
All right, there you go. David, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Hey, have a happy new year. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Our guest today is flour ambassador Amy Halloran, the author of The New Bread Basket, who brought all sorts of flour today and shortbread and the toast. I had another bite during the call. It is so nice. It's meaty.
Mm-hmm.
It's meaty bread.
Yep.
I like. All right, one more call, and then we'll take a break. Max in Albany. Max, you're on.
Hello. I wanted to see if you had any thoughts on this information saying that you're supposed to soak or sprout or ferment any grains before consuming, like with the idea being that the phytic acid present in most grains can, like, bind nutrients. And I want to see if that's, like, what your feedback would be on that. If you've heard about that. Thank you.
Sure. So that's a great point. Some people say that to eat grains, we really need to soak them or sprout them beforehand so that you dissolve the phytic acid, which is going to interfere with your ability to absorb not just the nutrients in the grains, but other nutrients that you might be trying to get by eating. I don't know enough to say that that's absolutely the way we should do this forever.
Yeah.
I do think that there's some merit to it. Do I do it? Not very much. I do believe that adding as much sourdough bread into your life as possible kind of achieves that sprouting neighborhood of nutrition that you're going for, trying to get as much as you want out of the food.
There you go. Our guest today is Amy Halloran. The number is 800-348-2551. We have a flower hour going on here on a Vox Pop Food Friday. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from The Black Sheep at downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. SUNY Schenectady County Community College, offering over 55 degree, certificate, and program options in music, culinary arts, business, liberal arts, math, and science. SUNYSCCC.edu. Field Goods, working to help people change the way they eat and support sustainable communities. Local produce delivered weekly to workplace and community locations. Field-goods.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. And Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, buttercrunch, and sea-salted caramels, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville. UncleSamsCandy.com.
Carving up here on a Vox Pop Food Friday. Plenty of carbs to be had with Amy Halloran, who is, well, she is the flower ambassador, but she'll deputize you if you wish. Our number is 800-348-2551. And before we get back to the calls, Amy, Let me put on my readers. I forgot my progressive lenses today, so I got to put my readers on to read the email, but we have a couple here. This one is from Jeremy, who says, is it worthwhile to use self-rising flower? What's your opinion of it?
Well, self-rising flower is its own animal. We don't do it up north very much because it's not so popular and it's just not in the habit of people, baking habits. So that has the leavener right in it.
Okay, that's how it rises on its own.
Yep, and I really think that you need to use whole grain, stone ground flours to get the most out of life. So self-rising is not whole grain, stone ground.
Okay. This one's from Mark. My question is about the bleaching of flour. Is it dangerous? I have a friend who likes to eat healthy. She tells me to always buy flour unbleached. Can you explain why flour gets bleached? And is it healthier to use only unbleached flour?
Another good question. So unbleached flour means that it doesn't, it's not subject to the chemical process that makes it whiter. An oxidation. I don't think flour needs that, but again, unbleached flour is still going to be roller milled flour, not whole grain very often and not stone ground very often. So I would say, yes, unbleached is better than bleached, but I'm still going for the whole grain stone ground.
Okay, but do we know why it was bleached to begin with?
Why? It was, I believe that it was for a preference for whiter flours.
Okay.
But so, I'm not positive on that one.
Our guest today is Amy Halloran, who is a flour ambassador, well-known, world-renowned, an author of the new Bread Basket, and you brought shortbread. And I tried, you brought three varieties, and I've tried all three, and they're fabulous. Tell us what you brought.
Well, okay, so this year I only baked shortbreads as Christmas cookies. And as I was getting ready to bake them, I was thinking, oh, you know, it's Christmas. I should be more fancy with the cookies because it's, you know, you're supposed time to break out the good ingredients. And then I thought, flour is the good ingredient. And I really wanted to shine a light on the flour. And with just a few ingredients, it's butter, sugar, salt, and flour, the spotlight's on that flour. So we have charcoal wheat, which is a kind of wheat that comes from Grist and Toll. It's a mill in Pasadena, California.
You said it's purple?
It's purple. It is a cross between purple wheat and red wheat that was made in a California lab, as I understand it, for some Middle Eastern prospects who wanted a purple wheat. Purple grains, so when you talk about the grain color, it's the bran color, really. So that means it has a purple bran, and most wheat has a red bran, or it can have a white bran, and that is very sweet because the red bran has tannins. You love it in wine. In wheat, it might go a little bitter, which is why some people don't love wheat and why white whole wheat is tastier because it doesn't have those tannins in it. The wheats are sweeter. In white wheats, you can taste a lot of different flavor characteristics that might be muted by the stronger things in the reds. So anyway, back to
this
the shortbreads.
This is purple and red.
This is purple, and it's got spelt in it, and spelt has a red bran also. But that's what that is, charcoal wheat with spelt, and you tasted those.
And the consistency is great. A, they're not too sweet. Mm-hmm. All three that you brought, not too sweet, but the consistency is great.
Yeah. And you could have it. I think you could put these out with cheese and crackers.
Absolutely.
Right?
I think you could put the barley and oat out with cheese and crackers very easily.
Yeah.
It's got a savory taste to it.
It does. High on the salt. I
which
love
is probably
salt.
Why I like it.
I was almost gonna. I made these this morning, the charcoal wheats, and I almost put in smoked salt in some of them. I should have brought the smoked salt for you to try.
That's. Did you make them with the smoked salt and not bring them?
No, I didn't. No,
well,
I
next
didn't
show.
Even. Yeah,
you'll be on. You'll be on a lot in 2017.
We've got to. We'll just. do that.
And then you have flour that's named Stephanie. What's up with that?
Oh, that was a woman named Stephanie from North Dakota. She brought me some buckwheat flour. And I brought that in just as a visual for you to appreciate, Ray.
It looks like beach sand.
Right? So flours have so many different colors and characteristics. That charcoal one, does that look purple to you?
It has
a purplish,
a little
lavender.
Bit. My color detection is not that good, but yeah.
And, you know, so buckwheat is very black-gray flecked. I brought in another one called Morris Widgeon, which is a one of those white wheats that I talked about.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Very finely milled.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay. And these are all from Grist and Toll.
Those two are from Grist and Toll. Yep. They came to me after maybe they must have come in the mail because I haven't been to California in quite a while. But it's a beautiful whole grain flour mill that – she's got a really fine taste for flours and milling. She can really do something
great. So what you're saying is there are other nuts out there who are as crazy about flour as you.
I'm about to go have, next weekend, I will be with them.
Really?
Next week at this time, Ray, I will be baking crackers with this woman named Dawn Woodward from Evelyn's Crackers in Toronto and at a Cascadia Grains conference.
Wow.
Yes.
Must be a party.
It really is. Don't know how I'm going to sleep until then.
All right, calm down. Let's go back to the phones.
Okay.
Amy Halloran is our guest. Randy in Port Jervis. Randy, you're on.
Oh, hi. This is very exciting. So we're in southern New York. We've visited the Troy Market, so I thought maybe you would know some great grains that would grow well in our northeastern climate.
Ah.
Yeah, there are a lot of grains pretty well suited to the Northeast, and there's been some terrific research done on it. I would point you toward Justin O'Day and the Ulster County CCE, Cornell Cooperative Extension, has put together some fact sheets that you want to look at. So look up, I'm hoping it's Ulster. I might be Delaware, but I'm pretty sure it's Ulster CCE grains. And you should find the fact sheets that'll give you info on planting and also have some variety suggestions.
Based on region or microclimate? I mean, how?
Region.
It's pretty hardy, right? Most grains?
Yes and no. I mean, you have to find things. That's the thing about re-regionalizing this crop that's gone out is you have to find the varieties again. They're really coming up against this with beer, right? You know, that we have the farm brewery law in New York State.
Right.
But we're still doing variety trials to try to figure out what barleys are best suited to grow in New York State again because we quit doing it so many years ago that the crop knowledge has disappeared.
It's making a comeback?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's barley.
Barley. We've got 9 malt houses in New York State and a lot of people who want to grow it and a lot of effort going into trying to re-regionalize this crop.
I'm hoping that malty beer makes a comeback. There's so much hoppy beer.
Mm-hmm.
I like the malty beers, too.
There's a Craft Maltsters Guild who's right behind you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I should get you some malt people on the show, Ray. You would have a ball.
You are really something. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Emily in Marlboro. Emily, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a question. I love, love, love really good quality bread. But recently I read a book called The Wheat Belly. And he comes from the point of view that the wheat that we're eating today has been so technologically altered that it's actually not fit for human consumption and we shouldn't be eating it. You know, and it's why people get fat in their belly, and it includes pasta and breads. And I was wondering if you could comment on that, but also more importantly, which of the flours would you recommend to make bread out of if you're not going to use wheat and you can use some of the other flours? I know there's so many as almond flour, coconut flour, and chickpea flour, and there's so many flours. If you're not going to use wheat, which flours or which breads would be more nutritious so you don't have to worry about the bad side of
okay.
it?
Okay, so I'd love to point you to other readings that kind of wash that thinking away because Wheat Belly he's not coming from a 100% trusted scientific approaches to what flour is doing in our body. From my point of view, the problem with wheat is more to do with its processing, post-harvest handling, than with the wheat itself. And there's this whole fear that's been developed about gluten because of this book and a lot of other writings that want to blame genetics and sort of throw away the baby with the bathwater. Wheat.
Right. They've all thrown the baby with the bathwater out the window.
That's yeah. And it's done. Unnecessary. You know, wheat has been feeding us for a really, really long time. Roller milling has not been in our bodies as long. The Chorley Wood process, which happened in the 60s, not as long.
What's the Chorley Wood process?
It's a more of an abbreviation of the baking process.
Ah, okay.
So there's a lot of additives to that wheat flour that make it probably tougher on the body.
Okay.
That's where I look at. So I think that taking baking back into your hands, taking milling and grain growing closer to home again can help restore some of those traditions of baking and staple crops that have fed us. Spelt is a terrific grain. I love spelt a lot. Rye is terrific. Regular wheat, I think, is a fine thing. I'd go for organic. I'd go for stone ground and whole grain. Use it with a sourdough, leavening, a long sourdough fermentation, and you're going to get places.
Emily, thank you. What about some of the ancient grains? We hear a lot of that and how it's better for those with gluten intolerance.
Right, right. So that's interesting because, you know, wheat is an ancient grain too.
Agreed.
And wheat, rye, spelt, all of those things, there's a charm and enchantment with the idea of ancient grains. There's not as much seed for some of those varieties. They're tougher to grow and process because, you know, there's a reason that we went from spelt to wheat in Roman times. And that main reason is that there was hulling on there's hulls. You have free threshing wheat, that is wheat that slips out of its hull when you whack the heads on whatever surface you're going to do for your harvesting.
Ouch.
So free threshing wheat is easier to process than the hulled varieties like barley and spelt. So as beautiful as these ancient grains are, emmer and einkorn, they are terrific grains. They're a lot harder to process, and I really think that you can get some of the same admirable nutrition and taste components if you go for a stone ground whole grain and a sourdough baking process.
You know, watching you describe this, it strikes me that you really ought to have a YouTube channel. You really should. You get very animated about this. Let's go to Roger in Granville. Roger, you're on.
Yes. Just being passed by some police, but they're not after me.
Oh, good for you.
I'm calling. I have been on diets for basically the last 50 years and was about ready to have bariatric surgery. And a year ago, I, through the Ellis Hospital Bariatric Center, met with a PA who is very much an advocate of the modified Atkins diet, which is essentially eliminating carbohydrates. Now, Amy, you have said that you're against sugars, but basically, unfortunately, and I love bread, I love toast, you're making me drool with everything you're talking about, but it's basically that those are metabolized into sugars. I'm a diabetic. I'm a type 2 diabetic. But I have been able to lose 50 pounds, and I have maintained it through the holiday season. I know I got one more night to go, a couple days to go, and done it. And I'm wondering about your thoughts about the fact that we just eat too many carbohydrates. We need to limit them. And I'm sure the home processing, some of the grains you're talking about, I know are lower in carbohydrates, and that's good. But I'm wondering about your thoughts from a balanced standpoint.
Okay, now remember, this is not a dietitian here, and this is...
I know it, yep.
Okay, but go ahead, Amy. I'm sure you have about 12 volumes worth of things to say, so go
know,
right ahead.
I know. I'm trying to chew down my thoughts to a nice size.
Okay.
Yes, especially white flour products, and that, you know, goes from pasta to crackers, everything. They are really challenging on our bodies. I don't quite have a full answer to your question. I don't think that the answer to the raging diabetes epidemic that we have going on is to go toward paleo, which I don't think is what you were suggesting, but I don't know how to get toward an appropriate amount of carbohydrates in our lives. It is really, really hard to figure that out.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that call. Let's go to Jim in Albany. Jim.
Hey, happy New Year, Ray and Amy.
Hi. Nice to have you here.
All right. Amy, I was wondering if you'd like to say a few words about the course you're teaching at Sage on food justice. That's a great idea.
Sure, yeah. And actually, I'm not teaching that anymore. What happened? Things change. But I still talk a lot about food justice and in my job at Unity House. So food justice is the idea that everyone, from seed to plate, deserves the right to healthy food. And so it's healthy ecosystems, healthy work environments, and affordable, healthy food. I taught this for a number of years at Russell Sage as part of the Women Learning and Doing program. And we explored a lot of different areas of stuff. A group that's doing great, great work on that continually in our area is Soul Fire Farm. And they run a CSA and do a lot of dynamic things. I suggest you take a look at that. And maybe I'd be inspired to do like an honest weight class on food justice.
Well, thanks, Jim. And I guess we'll have to update your script a little bit.
Yeah.
By the way, while you were on the phone with Jim, try it again. The spelt flour with cocoa shortbread. Amazing, because not sweet. And what cocoa are you using?
That was some cocoa. I think it was organic cocoa.
It's really good.
Yeah.
There's a little bitter edge to it. It's really tasty.
The cocoa acts a little bit as a flour in that. So I just used, you know, I have a standard on my blog. I have a standard formula for these shortbreads, which is sort of, you know, it's a formula, but you have to kind of poke and play as you're doing it to see how stiff you want the dough. Because you do want to get it fairly stiff without going too dry.
And you managed to do that quite well. Amy Halloran is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And we'll be back on the Flower Hour in a moment.
Support for WMT comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring local, producer-only foods and gifts every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside the Troy Atrium. Open New Year's Eve, troymarket.org. John Andrews Farmhouse Restaurant, celebrating après-ski, early Sunday dinner hours in the Berkshires, 4 to 8 p.m. Closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays through April, johnandrewsrestaurant.com. The Cheryl R. Lindenbaum Comprehensive Cancer Center at New York Presbyterian Hudson Valley Hospital, newyorkpresbyterian.org/Hudson Valley to learn more. Roundhouse Bakery, Cambridge, New York, featuring baked goods along with coffee, teas, soups, and sandwiches using locally sourced and organic as available produce and ingredients, facebook.com/Roundhouse Bakery Cafe. And River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop.
Amy, you know who that is on the guitar?
No, I don't, Ray.
No? T-Bone Walker, right?
Okay.
You knew that. That was your first guess. Amy Halloran, who surprisingly doesn't know that was T-Bone Walker, but knows everything else, it's pretty amazing, is our guest here on Food Friday. We'll get back to the phones in a moment at 800-348-2551. But let's do a couple of quick emails here. This one is from Larry. who says, I hope you can let me know if I grow our own einkorn and grind it. Can I make a decent loaf of bread? I have a KitchenAid grinder that works great. We already make our own cornmeal with corn we grow, and it works very well.
Okay, you're going to need to do a little workaround because those hulls I was talking about on the einkorn are going to be there. And you need to do some de-hulling. Get on YouTube and say home de-hulling.
Okay.
And that's D-E-H-U-L-L-I-N-G.
Time-consuming process?
No, just challenging.
Okay.
And then you're gonna make some good bread, but look up for how einkorn behaves. You know, look up recipes because all of the glutens are very different. They have gluten, but they're gluten structure is really different, and it's not as elastic, and it's not going to go boing like you want it to.
That, do you add the powder at that time?
Oh, no.
No?
No, you want to go sourdough because that's really friendly. Or you can do yeasted, but yeah, you want to, einkorn, you might want, you know, baking powders for muffins and cakes and that kind of stuff.
Surprisingly, I didn't know that.
Oh,
it's amazing. Now, this is from Alan in Colony. Last time I was down south, I had some really good spoon bread. Can you give me a recipe for spoon bread?
I can point you where to look for one.
What is spoon bread?
Spoon bread, I have a cookbook at home called Spoon Bread and Strawberry Wine.
Okay.
It's a beautiful cookbook. It's like a family album, an African-American family album with recipes.
Okay.
And so spoon bread is a cornmeal type pudding. He should look it up. I'm not going to give my own recipe because I don't have one.
Okay, fair enough. That's very honest. This is from Stephanie, who's from Kingston. Says, I recently started baking all the bread my husband and I eat at home, and I'm interested in locating locally milled grains for bread making, but have no idea where to start looking. Can you point me in the right direction? That's from Stephanie.
Three cheers for Stephanie.
Hey,
congratulations.
Make her an ambassador.
Yes, yes. So, you're in Kingston, right? That was at Kingston?
Yeah.
So the mills around us are Farmer Ground Flour, which is in Ithaca, and Wild Hive, which is in the Hudson Valley.
Okay.
Co-ops are the places that are stocking these flours. There might be some at the in the bulk bins. There might be some at Whole Foods, but your co-ops are the best bet to look for them.
Okay. And finally, the final email, and then back to the phones. This is from Matt in Albany, who writes, I've heard of flax seeds on cheap pizzas, but does it have any nutritional value? And can you name a couple recipes with flaxseed as the main grain, if it is even a grain? And that is from Matt in Albany.
Flaxseed is not a true grain. A true grain is the edible seed of certain grass plants.
Okay.
Flaxseed is just something you grind up and make into stuff, and it poses, you know, it absorbs stuff like cocoa powder would. It absorbs and can behave as part of a flour.
Okay. Very good. Our guest is Amy Halloran today, 800-348-2551. Joseph in Poughkeepsie. You're on, Joseph.
Hey, hi there. Excellent show. I have a quick comment about a call that asked the question about white flour, bleached flour, and whole grain.
Okay.
By the way, I am a whole grain, stone ground person, so cheers to Amy. It takes more money. It's an expensive process to get from whole grain flour to white flour, but white flour is cheaper. Now, why is it cheaper when it costs more money to process? That's because when white flour is used, it's so depleted of its nutrients that it has a longer shelf life.
Ah.
So manufacturer would buy white flour and developer would produce white flour, even though it's expensive, but they can sell a lot of that to big bakeries. They'll use this white flour, they'll bake their bread, which is really bad for you, because it has a longer shelf life.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I see Amy nodding, so she must agree with you to some extent, Joseph.
Well,
and the guy that called about diabetes, I don't have much. I mean, my time is up, but diabetes is something that is curable, and we don't have to eliminate bread. We just have to eat it in moderation.
There you go, man. Thanks for the call. You want to comment on that, Amy?
No, let's go on to the next one.
All right, fair enough. I like it. You're on a schedule here. Jim in Adams, Mass. Jim, you're on.
Yay, Ray. How you doing?
Hey.
Yes, I had another comment on the bleaching of flour. Originally, people, you know, as they got to be a little more well-to-do, wanted to get away from that gritty, dark flour everyone else was eating, and they would sift the wheat germ and the bran and everything else that had life in it out of the flour as much as they could. And then when mankind developed chlorine bleach, that's what they did. That's what they actually use on bleaching flour, the stuff we wash our clothes with, chlorine bleach.
All right, Jim. Hey, man, thanks a lot. Have a happy new year. Thank you for your calls this year. Lillian and Saugerties. Lillian, you're on.
Hi. I just had a question. I know you were talking about gluten-free bread before, or, you know, gluten-free products, whatever. And I was just wondering, because we've been trying to go gluten-free, just because my husband has felt a difference with arthritis and, you know, like in his joints and that. So I was just wondering what Amy thought about gluten and the effect it has on arthritis
Again,
you know, problems with your joints and that. So
I just want to make the caveat here that she is not a nutritionist or a doctor. So you can,
right.
Amy, you can say whatever you want. But
yeah, you know, if you're getting good results by avoiding it, that's great. But I think the one thing I always want people to think about is, if you're, what was it that you cut out that's changing things? And are there ways to get, because I really do believe that whole grains have a place in most people's lives. Are there ways you could get that's, you know, not processed and still getting, you know, something that's fed lots of people for a really long time?
All right, Lillian, thank you so much. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is our guest, a flour ambassador, and she has the badge to prove it, author of The New Bread Basket, and the website, once again, is amyhalloran.net. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to line number 8, and Bruce in Conway. Bruce, you're on.
Hi, it's Ruth.
Oh, Ruth, I'm sorry. You don't sound like a Bruce. All right, you're on.
My question is whether or not white spelt flour can be substituted equally for white all-purpose flour in a recipe. I don't bake much, but when I do, I use spelt flour, and I recently had some trouble with a quick bread recipe. And I think there's some variables with what might have gone wrong, but one was my thought that maybe white spelt, there needs to be some calculated adjustment to the
ratio of use. Okay.
A little bit. I don't have an exact ratio change, more of a suggestion of awareness. All flours will vary somewhat in how much moisture they absorb, and spelt to wheat is one place where that translation can really happen. I use spelt 1-to-1 in most of what everything I do, and I've never really had any trouble. But I think that's where, you know, it needs either a little more or a little less liquid. So you just have to, if you're not going to bake very much, that's a really hard one to call.
So experience really is the key.
It's because you get a familiarity with what's going on.
So, great. Ruth, just keep practicing.
I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer.
Yes, I need to make another batch of honey cake.
Oh, that sounds good. I'll have you on the show as well. Hey,
if
Ruth.
If it was too dry, add less. If it was not, you know, didn't hold together enough, add more. How's that?
There you go. Hey, Ruth, thanks a lot and Happy New Year. Our guest is Amy Halloran. 800-348-2551 is the number. Nancy in Schenectady. Nancy.
Hi. I was wondering about baking pie crusts using whole grains. I've had a terrible time getting them to stick together, and I really like using the whole grains, but it does not seem to work for me, at least, with making pie crusts.
Well, what's not happening? They're not sticking together.
Yeah, they're not sticking together. It's like very frustrating to try to roll something out when it won't hang together.
Are you sticking to the exact liquid ratio as you would for a white flour recipe?
It just seems as though whether I've used more or whether I've used less, it still is not hanging together.
Huh.
Well, number one, I would go for a whole grain pastry recipe first, because the bran in a whole grain flour absorbs different amounts of liquids. So it's going to take a little bit more liquid, probably. Also, do you let your pie crust rest in the refrigerator after mixing and before rolling?
I don't believe I have done that, no.
Yeah, take a look. There's a lot of resources. Take a look for whole grain pastry, probably even on King Arthur's website, whole grain pastry, and I hope you'll find a good route.
Nancy, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Stuart in Leverett, Mass. Stuart, you're on.
Hi. I have a comment about using organic flour. While traveling with my daughter out in the northeastern plains of Washington State, I was listening to the radio, and I heard them a couple of times talking about using Roundup pre-harvest on their wheat. I think it was mostly red wheat out there, but it made me concerned about using wheat that might be commercially non-organic because of that, using chemicals so that they could replant the crop as soon as the wheat was harvested. And I thought that was, pretty telling about possibly why a lot of people have allergies to wheat.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. So there's been a lot of concern raised over the last year for this use of Roundup to both treat the soil and treat the grain stalks, really. They're trying to dry down the stalks a bit to make for quicker harvesting. And would point people toward organics, because then there is no Roundup used. I think organic is a good way to go.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call. Now, there's been a lot of controversy, but what about the science?
Oh, the science on that?
It's jury's out.
Yeah, we got 6 minutes, right?
Okay, all right. Back to the phones we go then. And Deirdre in Stafford Springs, Connecticut.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So this year I was diagnosed unexpectedly with celiac because I never had any symptoms.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And then I went on the diet, and now I have symptoms.
Oh, no.
So now I'm wondering how to retool all of the recipes, because I'm in my 40s, and I came up in a family without real food ways, and found all my own, and most of them involved wheat flour, and now I can't use it.
Right. Yeah.
Now I'm trying, and of course, simple fried things like fish or whatever, the Bob's Red Mill, one-to-one seems to work fine for. But when I eventually get around to figuring out how to make my own pierogies or samosas or the things that I can't go to a restaurant and ever get again, do I start?
I would still stick with, true celiacs. And people with true wheat allergies have to stay away.
I tested, yep. I did all the testing.
Yeah, so you have to stay away from wheat. So
yeah, I have no choice.
I really think that sticking with these products, because they're getting a scientifically balanced, I've visited Bob's Red Mills, kitchen facilities. They're scientific kitchen facilities. They are figuring it all out for you. So I think that would be a great route to go.
All right, quickly over to John in Hyde Park. John, you're on with Amy Halloran.
Hey, Ray, it's John Fisher. How are you?
John Fisher. How you doing, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Listen, I'm curious about the use of spent grain in baking, because I teach at the culinary, and we have a brewery now, and we have lots of spent grain that we can't really give to a farm because we're not on a set schedule. So some of our bakers, some of our cooks are using it. Have you used spent grain for anything?
Spent grain.
Yes. So what he's talking about is the leftover grain that beer drinks on its way to becoming beer.
Right.
So that is great stuff to use. It is very volatile and reactive, so you have to use it in small ratios. People are doing a couple things, like freezing it right away if they can't bake with it right away, keeping the ratio really low so it's a small amount going in there. Pizza doughs are great for it. Crackers.
Ah.
Really beautiful in crackers. Placid Baker in Troy, New York, is using some of Rare Form's spent grains to make crackers that go that way. There is...
I like crackers with cheese.
Yeah.
You see?
Yep. And then there's this great company. Another place to think about experimenting is in your granola bar style thing. There's a company in San Francisco called Regrained that's doing that. So I would say, you know, you got all that stuff to play with. Try your granola bar neighborhood.
Nice it. Hey, John, we're just about out of time. How is the research project coming on the mixed drink I mentioned?
That is one of the strangest names I've ever heard for a cocktail. You are a strange man.
The pig in the blender. Well, I want you to work on that, and well, thank you for the call. Amy Halloran, this hour went fast.
It sure did.
How can we find out more about your flower ambassador program?
Go to my website, amyhalloran.net.
And we can find recipes and such?
There's recipes. There's stories of all kinds of people doing really tremendously fun things with whole grain flours
now,
all around.
If people go to your website, is there a danger they will become as crazy as you?
I don't think so. I don't think you can catch it on the internet.
Are you sure?
You can't even catch it across the room for me.
I'm not so sure about that. Well, it's been great having you on the phone. On the show. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Ray. Happy New Year to you. Couldn't think of a better way to close this one.
This was good. Support comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, now booking holiday parties at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, creating special blends with labels for gifts, weddings, and corporate events. RollingRockSalt.com for market appearances. And Crown Maple Syrup, Hudson Valley, open every weekend for lunch at Maple Tours with the third annual Pancake Breakfast with Santa on Saturday, December 17th, which already happened, unless it's next year. I'm not sure. But it's crownmaple.com for tickets if you'd like to find out. And we're done for the year. Holy mackerel. Thanks to everybody who called in, everybody who listened, everybody who emailed this year in 2016. It's been fun. We're off on Monday. Alan will be back on Tuesday at 2 p.m. for another Vox Pop, the first one of 2017. Be safe, don't drink and drive. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took your calls. Our producer, Jim Lavulis. I'm Ray Graff. Stand by for news.